So good morning, everyone, and welcome to the service of Holy Communion. If you're a visitor, please feel free to join us afterwards for a cup of tea in the sun. And may the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray together. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. From the Gospel of John we read, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And from Psalm 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. And we do that with the singing of our first hymn. As we remain standing, we say together the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten and not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Our loving God commands us to love like him. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us. And write your law in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. We confess that we have failed to live up to his standards. And pray together. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all people, we acknowledge our sins which we have committed by thought, word and deed against your divine majesty, provoking most justly your wrath and indignation against us. We earnestly repent and are truly sorry for our sins. The remembrance of them grieves us. The burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that from now on we serve and please you in newness of life, to the honour and glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all those who turn to him with true faith and repentance, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
You that truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and harmony with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from now on in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to comfort you. To all that truly turn to him, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." The Apostle Paul said, "This is a true saying and worthy of all people to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." The Apostle John said, "If any person sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation or perfect offering for our sins. And therefore we can have peace with God, and we're able to say, we are the body of Christ,
his spirit is with us.
The peace of the Lord be always with you,
and also with you."
And you might like to share that peace with each other. That's peace, peace, brother.
Like what we've heard this morning, lift up your heart.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right to do so.
It is very good, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we praise and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 holy Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory be to you, O Lord Most High.
Join me as we pray this prayer of humble access.
We do not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your many and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs of your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may be more dwelling in him, and he in us. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, in your tender mercy you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death on the cross for our redemption. He made there a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and he instituted and commands us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. Hear us, merciful Father, and grant that we, receiving this bread and wine, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. For on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Amen. Amen.
All who love Jesus may join us at the Lord's table. The small cups contain both grape juice and wine. Grape juice is in the smaller, lighter coloured carrier. All the bread is gluten-free. You may stand or kneel to receive communion. We encourage families to come together.
Let us pray. Father, we who believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and have received these pledges of his love, thank you because you graciously feed us with the spiritual food of his body and blood. By this you assure us of your love and forgiveness, and that we and all your faithful people are true members of his body and of each other in him. Remember your church, which you have purchased by his blood, and gather it in holiness into the kingdom you have prepared for it. Make us faithful witnesses of the Lord Jesus and his resurrection, that at his coming we may go out with great joy to meet and be found worthy to worship you with all your saints forever. Amen. Someone will now
pray these together first.
He hasn't got it.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praise to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning,
and your faithfulness by night.
The collect for the third Sunday in Advent, which is entitled Rejoice, the Lord is Near. Almighty God, you make us glad with the yearly expectation of the birthday of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that, as we joyfully receive him for our Redeemer, so we may be sure confidence behold him, when he shall come to be our judge, and who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. A prayer for time of disaster. All things look to you, O Lord, to give them their food in due season. Look in mercy on your people and hear our prayer for those whose lives and livelihood have been threatened by drought, flood, fire, or COVID. In your mercy, save both man and beast. Guide and bless the labours of your people, that we may enjoy the fruits of the earth and give you thanks with grateful hearts. We ask this through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
A prayer for God's guidance. Almighty Lord and everlasting God, we pray that you will direct, sanctify and govern our hearts and bodies in the ways of your laws and the works of your commandments, that through your mighty protection, here and ever, we may be kept safe in body and soul, to give glory to your holy name, through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Teach us, O gracious Lord, to begin our works with reverence, to go on in obedience, and finish them with love, and then to wait patiently in hope, and with a cheerful countenance to look up to you, whose promises are faithful and rewards infinite. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
A prayer for unity. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our only Saviour, the Prince of Peace, give us grace seriously to lay to heart the great dangers we are in by our unhappy divisions. Take away all hatred and prejudice, and whatever else may hinder us from godly union and concord, that, as there is but one body and one spirit and one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, so we may be all of one heart and of one mind, united in one holy bond of truth and peace, of faith and charity, and may with one mind and one mouth glorify you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
A prayer for peace. God of the nations, whose kingdom rules over all, have mercy on our broken and divided world. Shed abroad your peace in the hearts of all men, and banish from them the spirit that makes for war, that all races and people may learn to live as members of one family, and in obedience to your laws. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
A prayer for absent ones. Lord our God, present in every place, we pray you to protect with your loving care those whom we love and who are now far away from us. Let your fatherly hand direct them, prosper them in your way, grant them strength for their needs, and inspire in them an unwavering faith in you, that they may live always to your honour and glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
A prayer for the sick. Lord, you know those of us from this parish who are unwell. We ask that you look after them, lift them up, assist them, heal them as might be most appropriate. And we especially remember this day, Bev, who has now come down with COVID and is slowly recovering. We ask you to support these all. Amen. A prayer for the spread of the gospel. We praise you, Lord of all, for the gifts of Christ, our ascended King, for apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. Hear our prayer for all who do not know your love and have not heard the gospel of our Saviour Jesus Christ. Send out your light and truth through the messengers of your word. Help us to support them by our prayers and offerings, and hasten the coming of your kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And let us finish by saying together the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Good morning.
Morning.
This is my little update on Julie and her, just from her last newsletter. And we're actually going to do something very exciting. Straight after the service, there's going to be a Zoom call to Julie. So if you've got a spare few minutes and you could stay around for that, we would just love you to do that, because we're going to Zoom with her. It's her birthday, and we thought we'd do that and see how she's going. But now I'm just going to give the update, and that is that in the last newsletter, Julie said that she felt like she was in a plateau, or she had been in a plateau for the last month, as she had been very sick with serious food poisoning, and then just got better and caught COVID after that. She is feeling better now. As she couldn't visit neighbours or meet at church or study her language, Julie rested, didn't worry, and stood firm. And she thanked God for our prayers in this. Next, Julie talked about the earthquake, which was very strong. It was 70 kilometres away from her place. Her local communities went into overdrive to help out where necessary. There are ongoing issues with sickness and in the disaster zone, and definitely the threat of more earthquakes. Julie talks about a reading and literacy project at a preschool that she occasionally helps out with. And this looks like a really wonderful project and something that'll be right up her alley. Then she gives a campus update that God provided an amazing opportunity for Julie to help at the International Catholic University. That's not her regular university. With an English assistance program. She will help people practice and learn English, especially those who deal with international students. So they just wanted a native speaker who could help these people to learn English just in conversation. A great opportunity to be on this unit. This is a great opportunity to be on this particular uni campus, because now she has a real reason to be on this campus and to build relationships there with the staff and the students. Then next was a small group update. This is her regular small group on a Thursday night at her regular university. She was struggling in the last newsletter. No one came. But now, to this small group, which is like a Bible study, there's been a small and steady increase from two or three students regularly. Then the next week there was seven, then the next week was 10, so this was great. The students are yet to get the hang of discussion that we're used to doing, but they're obviously not used to that yet, but that'll come. Julie is now up to Unit 7 at Language School, and she is looking forward to a two-week break. I think she'd like a lot more, but they only give 2 weeks. And she's also anticipating her first Christmas there. Okay. Have I got time to do the prayer for Julie?
You
have. Yes. Okay, good. I'd like to pray for Julie now. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Julie's dedication to you in Southeast Asia. We especially give you thanks for the way good rest has resulted in her brain absorbing more language. Lord, thank you for the chance Julie has had to serve students and see them serving in responding to the earthquake. A great thank you, Lord, for answered prayer for the International Catholic University opportunity, for Julie to be on campus and to have the chance to build relationships with staff and students through teaching them English. Heavenly Father, now we ask you to hear our prayer, especially for Julie's health, for her to stay well now after so much illness, and especially for her not to suffer any long-term effects from these sicknesses. We pray for Julie to stand firm when things get tough. We pray against more earthquakes, which is a real threat. Please keep Julie safe, her village, her university, her neighbours and her friends. We pray for the small group Julie leads, that you will make your word valuable to all the students who attend. Lastly, we pray for Julie's growth in understanding the interwoven aspects of different worldviews, decisions and actions for the people around her. And Lord, for the deepening of many relationships amongst the Christmas festivities. Thank you for always hearing our prayers. Through the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
We will now sing, and that will be followed by a Bible reading.
The reading this morning is from Luke chapter 2 and can be found on page 832 of the Church Bibles. The birth of Jesus. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own town to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver the child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you great good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favours." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now into Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
We are in a series of sermons for Advent, which is called Emmanuel Brings Hope, and Love, and Joy, and Peace. We're up to the second one, Emmanuel Brings Love. Now, we haven't had a movie quote for a while, which I'm pretty well known for. So my question is, what movie is this from? It must be difficult to let go of something so beautiful. Any takers?
Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman. Didn't have your hand up, but you still got the points.
Where's your chocolate?
The movie was Pretty Woman, starring Julia Roberts and Richard Gere. This quote appears near the end of the movie, where it morphs from a sordid tale about meaningless love between a rich businessman and a prostitute, and it morphs into a fairy tale about finding true love. Until that final moment, Both characters desire a meaningful relationship, and yet both characters have their desire denied. Now, there is one scene which I think symbolically depicts this desire and denial. And it is where Richard's character presents Julia's character with a beautiful necklace to wear for their dinner date. Now, he is unable to actually give her what she so obviously desires, because it's only on loan, even he can't afford it. And she is unable to grasp and keep hold of what she so keenly desires. And for both of them, the object of their gaze is unattainable. And I think this is symbolised by the box snapping shut when Julia tries to take the necklace. There's no sound. Oh, a little bit of sound, but... So, how am I going to go from that to today's theme, Emmanuel Brings Love? You'll just have to wait and see. But first, we'll pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, open our eyes that we may see your truth. Open our minds to understand it. Open our hearts to receive it. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I am not using the Pretty Woman movie as a comparison, but as a contrast. The way Jesus did with that parable that he told about the woman coming and sort of annoyingly persisting in her request to a guy, he said, well, God is not like that guy. God listens to our requests and gives us what we want and doesn't have to be pestered that way. So I'm not using it as a comparison, but as a contrast. Richard Gere character is not God. And the Julia Roberts character is not us. The love of God is pure and perfect, and the gift of God is free and forever. In the movie, the hero fearfully and falteringly comes to the rescue of the heroine at the end. Julia's famous line in response is that she rescues him right back. Obviously, neither of these images is part of the gospel, the good news. For me, the contrast is between the brokenness of human relationships and the beauty of the relationship that God is offering us as followers of Christ. Now, as we know from John 3:16, God loves us so much and desires an eternal relationship with us so much that he sent his Son. He sent Jesus. That's why we celebrate Christmas. And this fits with our Advent theme for today, Emmanuel Brings Love. What God offers is not on loan. What God offers is himself, for God is love. What God offers is his to give and ours to receive, freely and immediately. What God offers is available to all and is attainable by all, but is not accepted by all. What God offers is a gift that cost him more than we can know or understand. And this makes Christmas the beginning of the greatest love story ever told. And I want to expand on this by looking at 3 points. God's love is revealed to us, God's love is accessible, and God's love drives out fear. God's love is revealed to us. In John 1:18, it says, "No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." So Jesus brings God's love to light. In Hebrews 1 verse 1, "Long ago God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets, but in these last days he's spoken to us by a Son, and he is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being." And what is God's very being? Love. John 14 verse 9 says, Jesus said, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." If God is love, then Jesus is also love. And God's love is revealed to us in Jesus. We don't just get to know about God's love, we get to see and experience God's love in Christ. In 1 John 4:12, "No one has ever seen God," again, "if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. We get to experience that love ourselves. 1 John 4:9, there's a lot of passages from 1 John 4, and from verse 14 and 15, God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Saviour of the world. For God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So then we go back to 1 John 4:16. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. God's love is not only revealed to us, God's love is revealed in us. God's love is revealed in the birth of Jesus, and God's love is demonstrated in the death of Jesus, when he gives his life on the cross as a ransom for many. And this caused J.I. Packer, a famous author, to say, "It is here, in the thing that happened at that first Christmas, that the most profound, unfathomable depths of the Christian revelation lie. God became man, and nothing in fiction is so fantastic as the truth of the incarnation." God's love is both revealed in and demonstrated through Jesus Christ. And we are called to love like him in such a way that the love of God is both revealed in and demonstrated through us. That's how God's love is revealed. And God's love is accessible. In Isaiah 57:15, it says, "For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place." God is king of the universe, and the story of Esther reminds us of the ancient worldview that no one can stand in the presence of such power and authority and majesty without an invitation, at least. We can't just waltz into God's presence whenever we like, they thought. And one hymn describes God as immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light, inaccessible, hid from our eyes. We can't see God. We can't be where he is from that hymn, for he is holy and we are not. But if that is true, how then can Isaiah finish his sentence all those centuries ago like this? To start again. "For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with those who are contrite and humble in spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite." You see, the Bible teaches us that God is only inaccessible to those who come to him with proud and arrogant hearts. But God's love makes him accessible to the humble and contrite of heart. And yet that should still be impossible. Those two can't really fit together. God encourages people to use the sacrificial system as a teacher and reminder of the seriousness of sin and how it separates us from him. The religious leaders understood that the blood of goats and bulls cannot take away sin, so that obstacle remains. So how does God's love make it possible for us to gain access to him? God's love is not like the solution to a puzzle that only the best and the brightest can find. God's love is not atop some mountain that only the fittest and the strongest can reach. And God's love is not a reward that only the kindest and most altruistic can receive. God's love is a costly gift, freely given and available to all. It is not stumbled upon by chance, as if God left his door open and we can just walk in and take it. God made a choice to send his Son, who made a choice to give his life for us. God's love is a deliberate choice and act made on our behalf, which allows us to be forgiven and cleansed so that we can enter into his presence and enjoy a relationship of pure love with him forever, even though we don't deserve it. Our redemption is entirely the work of God, so that we might experience his love. Randy Alcorn said, "One look at Jesus, his incarnation and the redemption he's provided should silence the argument that God has withdrawn to some far corner of the universe where he keeps his hands clean, maintaining his distance from human suffering." God got involved. He sent his son. God makes his love accessible through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, through the one born to us at Christmas, Emmanuel, who brings God's love. And God's love drives out fear. In 1 John 4:18 it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love." One way to test whether we have received God's love is to consider how our faith has affected our fear. For some people in the church, faith has increased their fear. And by that I mean that what some people have been taught has left them with little or no assurance of their forgiveness or their salvation. They have been taught that it is a sin to assume that you're going to heaven. And so they fear the alternative. As John rightly said, fear has to do with punishment. It's interesting though, isn't it, that one of the most commonly used phrases in the Bible is "fear not." Emmanuel brings God's love, which takes our punishment and removes our fear. For right after we hear about God's love in sending his son in John 3:16, we read in John 3:17 the very next words, "Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." When we believe in Jesus, we will not perish, the Bible says, but we will have eternal life. It's a promise from God. Jesus goes on to say in John 5:24, "Anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life." Not something you're waiting for, you can have it. "And does not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life." This removal of fear is part of that peace that Emmanuel also brings, which we'll hear more about in our Christmas sermon. When John says, "Whoever fears has not reached perfection in love," he's using the word in the sense of completion. To be perfect is to be complete. So if he's saying he's not reached perfection in love, he's saying there's something missing. That there's only something missing when we allow fear to stop God's love from filling us completely. In other words, fear blocks love. When we fully understand and accept God's love for us through Jesus, our fear is eradicated. As Jesus says in John 14, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Don't fear. Trust in God. Trust also in me." If fear blocks love, faith brings love. In 1 John 4:18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect or complete love casts out fear." Jesus, our Emmanuel, is the only one who can give us such a love. If Jesus had not been born as Emmanuel, if he had not lived and died and risen from the dead, then we'd still be in our sins and we would still be overwhelmed by our fear of death and punishment. But Jesus was born. He did live and die and rise again from the dead. Emmanuel did bring God's love, and that love has been revealed to us and is accessible to us. And that love casts out all fear of punishment, leaving us with a confident assurance that nothing can separate us from God's love. So this sermon began with a sordid tale about meaningless love between a rich businessman and a prostitute, which turned into a fairy tale about finding true love. Both characters desired a meaningful relationship, and yet both characters had their desire denied. Until the final scene of the movie, and even then we're not told how long that lasted. Being a Hollywood movie, probably a Hollywood marriage, probably not long. There is absolutely nothing, this is absolutely nothing like the wonderful relationship of love that God desires to have with us, and which God enables us to have with him, and which God enables us to have with him right now and that will last forever. Jesus, our Emmanuel, brings God's love into our lives when we invite him into our lives. Now, I began with a quote, "It must be difficult to let go of something so beautiful." Let me conclude with a reminder that we never have to let go of God's love. And God will never let go of us either, for nothing can separate us from his love. As Paul tells us in Romans 8, "I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Emmanuel brings God's love. Emmanuel reveals God's love in his life. He demonstrates God's love in his death. Emmanuel displays the power of God's love in his resurrection, and he makes it possible for us to share God's love in our own lives with each other and with him. This love of God removes all our fear as Emmanuel sustains and strengthens us through his Holy Spirit. Emmanuel ensures that nothing will separate us from God's love for all eternity. How could we ever let go of something so beautiful? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please challenge and change us by the truth of your word, and please encourage and strengthen us by the power of your Holy Spirit to put into practice what we know to be true. May the love that our Emmanuel brings to us cast out all our fear, as that love fills our minds with a confident assurance of forgiveness and eternal life, and fills our hearts with an everlasting experience of that same love from which we can never be separated. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Notices. We have Christmas services coming up on Christmas Eve, 5 o'clock, Christmas Day, 9 o'clock. We have in January the series Living Under the Lordship of Christ, where we have Isaac and Jasper and Celia preaching. And we have CMS Summer School coming up in January as well. We've seen the video for that. We encourage you to go and hear Vaughan Roberts, who's a great preacher from England and worth going to see. We will be having a Zoom Connect call with Julie since we finish up here. But just to remind you that also in January we're having a prayer course, and if you haven't yet put your name down, even if you can only come to one or two sessions, put your name down and encourage Imogen as she sits about preparing to lead us through that course during January, after church in January, there'll be that prayer course. Is there any other notices? Paul?
Lane Cove, 6:30 tonight, carols in the canopy, incidental music from 6:30, carols from 7.
Oh, we had a great collection of all the toys in Tucker. Room full of things, and the truck people should have had a bigger truck. No, they were absolutely overwhelmed, and really grateful to the congregation for your great generosity in contributing to that.
The theme's gone.
Oh, yes, you may have noticed more space up here. Well, that's a tender thing you tend not to notice because it's not there anymore. But we've taken down the big screen and the projector because we've now got the fancy screens up here. So thanks to the Mark and the Wardens for getting all that done for us. And also to Mark for putting the hymns together, because Barry, our organist, got sick with COVID at the last minute, so we're scrambling to get all the music done today. But well done, good job. And if that brings us... Oh, do you want the blessing? Yeah, we'll do the blessing now. We'll finish the service and then we'll put the Zoom call on. So remain seated. You can stand if you want. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Go in peace, love, and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.